Okay, Matthew 21, verse 23 down to 27. If your Bible has got paragraph marks, you'll notice one at 23 and 28, so this is the context. Matthew 21, 23. Okay, let's go ahead and pray before we read this. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand your words, and I ask that you'd help us to see that you are the final authority and that we might be people who truly believe that. And I pray that you'd help us to understand this idea, this thought, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Matthew 21, this subject was the first subject matter on the little Bible study or Bible Institute that I started. So the fellows that were sitting in there, this will refresh some of your memory on that. And if you're not watching on YouTube, don't you realize that the world revolves around us? So you should be watching that on YouTube, right? No, just kidding. But the idea here is on final authority, and in Matthew 21, Jesus Christ is teaching, and these religious upstarts just walked in and interrupted him because they're arrogant, and they think the world revolves around them. And so this is the Bible, the Christ-like attitude of how to deal with somebody like that. Matthew 21, 23, and when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority? Okay, that's the bottom line issue in life, authority. Okay, and Jesus answered and said unto him, I also will ask you one thing, which, if you tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it, from heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did you not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. Well, they weren't honest. They should have said, we will not tell. But they said, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Okay, so this is final authority. They were challenging Jesus Christ's authority. This is going to be a two-parter this week, next week, I suppose. But final authority is the determining factor in any area of life. That's the bottom line factor. Whenever you get in a discussion with somebody, you got to discover who or what is the final authority. The final authority determines, establishes, and enforces the rules of that certain area. Okay, this experience with Jesus Christ here, verse 23 to 27, is recorded in Mark and in John. So it's recorded three times in the Bible, three times. And God puts a thing in the Bible over and over for emphasis sake. So these are some religious upstarts that think the world revolves around them, that everybody's supposed to come to them for the answers. And they were challenging Jesus Christ about his authority. Okay, who has the authority to determine right from wrong, good from evil? Who decides that? Okay, have the natural laws of life, like the laws against murder and theft and things like that, have these natural laws accidentally or universally been established? Has it just accidentally happened? If that's the case, then chickens and dogs and cats would be charged with theft or murder or whatnot. Of course, we know that doesn't take place. So where did these ideas, these morals, these laws come about? Is it just man came up with these ideas? Or was it placed within one's DNA by somebody else? Okay, does each and every person establish their own rules for life? Okay, if that's the case, then a person could just say, I don't like so-and-so, so my rule for life is I'm just going to take him out. Okay, and so that's the idea there. But whenever you get in a discussion with somebody, you always want to, bottom line, get the authority established. Who determines the definition of words always wins the argument. Okay, so you got to figure this out. Whenever you get in discussion with somebody, if it's your opinion against his opinion, everybody's got opinions, just like everybody's got two armpits, and they usually both stink. Opinions and armpits. Okay, and so going back and forth on opinion really doesn't matter. You're not getting anything accomplished. Okay, you got to get some final authority, somebody that is the authority in that matter. For example, later today during a football game, if there's a questionable call, what will they do? Who is the authority? Well, some guy with a white hat, a baseball hat type hat, will go to the sidelines, look at a screen, look at the replay, and then he comes back on the field and he tells everybody the outcome. One guy. One guy. One authority. Now, a bunch of those fans will appreciate it and a bunch will not. But everybody follows one authority. That's been established since that game started. The authority are those funny guys with the zebras shirts. That's the authority. Now, hopefully, they go according to the rule book. Okay, but that has been established by thousands of people walking in to watch somebody fight over a little pigskin, that the authority has a whistle and nobody's to touch that authority. If a player touches him, they throw him out of a game. But he's the final authority. All the coaches submit to it. They may not like it, but they submit to it. All the players submit to it. All the fans submit to it. But that's the one final authority. Now, we take this into life. Okay? In Matthew 21, I'm going to give you three thoughts about final authority this morning. Jesus Christ revealed that there are two authorities. In Matthew 21, verse 25, he said, the baptism of John, he said, whence was it? From heaven? Or, from heaven or of men? So the authority is heaven, God, or man, earth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when Paul wrote out some doctrines for the believers in the New Testament about the resurrected body, he said the first Adam, earthy, the last Adam, the quickening spirit, heavenly. So we have two there. Okay, heaven, earth, God, man. That's the two authorities. Jesus Christ laid it out very simple there. That's the bottom line right there. Now, everybody in life, a person decides who's going to be my authority. Now, most people choose man to be their authority. That's just the way it is. Now, some people who claim God is their final authority really are following man. And I could show how we can tell that idea. Okay, now, that's the individual choice. Okay, for example, secular humanism. Secular humanism is the established religion of the public school system. Okay, it is a religion. Supreme Court's opinion is that it's a religion. They've said that. In 1933, there was a humanist manifesto drawn up, about 2 or 3 pages, and many high-educated folks signed this agreement, this humanist manifesto. They used the word religion more on 2 pages than the entire Bible did in 31,000 verses. It is a religion of man, elevating man to the supreme being. They've signed another one in 1973, and this is the established religion of the public school system in America and many of the state schools, if not all of them. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians are acting like it too. In our Bible, we find this in Judges 21:25, the book of Judges, where a nation is run by judges. I think that sounds familiar. Where it's run by judges, and it says, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Okay, and so I was talking to a young kid down at Purdue. He didn't have a tackle box, so he put all his fishing garb on his face. And so we were chatting about it, and he was his own final authority, and he felt that he could determine everything. And I said, okay, so I think I'll do the same thing like you. And my final authority is, I just feel like punching you in the face right now. That would make me feel very good. He said, well, I don't agree with that. I said, well, that's my authority. I said, so pain upon you is against your rules. Yeah. I said, oh, okay. Well, I just wanted to figure out where your authority was. And, of course, I was just joking around with that guy, exposing him to be a hypocrite, which is what I got accomplished. Okay, atheists, who is their authority? Themselves. An agnostic. Okay, an agnostic. A gnostic is somebody who knows. That's what the G is for. You got a square and compass around it. Put A in front of it. That means you don't know anything. That's an intelligent way of saying I'm stupid. I'm an agnostic. Well, praise the Lord. I'm happy for you. Did you get a degree with that? Save your tuition. Evolutionists, who's their authority? They say science. No, it's not. It's not science. It's themselves. Now, that's their choice. It doesn't matter. Now, religious folks, when you step into religion, whatever you want to call it, they will claim that God is their final authority in some form somewhere. But there's a lot of confusion amongst religion. And in 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, God is not the author of confusion. So all this confusion is not God's problem, it's our problem. Why? It's because there's multiple authorities. Okay, if a person is a Roman Catholic, okay, the Roman Catholic, if you go to, let's see, St. E's over here, the other alphabet's A. A's Rensselaer, E's Lowell, okay, so St. E's. If you go over there and ask the priest, where do you get your beliefs? He will say Bible or tradition. So he has two authorities. The next question is, what do you do when they disagree with each other? His answer is, they don't, but they do, if you just read them. So who is the one that determines which one's right? For example, purgatory is not found in the Bible. It's made up by tradition. And they readily admit that. Okay, so what's their final authority? Well, in steps number three, and he tells you which one's right, Pope and priest, that becomes their authority. Who's their authority? A man. Man is authority. If you go to the LDS people in their wards, in their prisons, in their wards, there's one over north of Hebron, okay, their authority, and you can ask them, I'm not opposed to the idea. If they want to establish their own authority, that's their choice. That's their free choice. Okay, their authority is Bible, Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants, and Pearl of Great Price. So they've got four. What do you do when they disagree? In steps Mr. Mormon Prophet, and he tells you polygamy is no longer allowed. Okay, so who's their final authority? A man is their final authority. Okay, you can do this in any faith. Now, Christians generally will have this statement, and if you write any of the Christian schools, Moody Bible Institute, you can write Hiles Anderson, Fairhaven, you can write Cedarville, all these places, and in their statement of faith, under Bible, it will say this: the Bible is the final authority for all matters of faith and practice. That's the statement. Grace College had that. You can get on their website. The Bible is, and what they're saying is that God is our final authority. He has chosen to give us authority through words. Why? Because God communicates by words. Animals communicate by sounds. Man communicates by words. Animals listen to the tone of your voice, not to the words that you say. Now, you can train them to pick up on those words, but they're listening to the tone of your voice, because that's how animals were created. We speak by words. In the beginning was a word, and word was with God, and word was God. That's Jesus Christ. And so, they say the Bible is a final authority for all matters in faith and practice. I say, I agree. The Bible, one, is present tense. Would you please show me that Bible, which is your final authority? Moody Bible Institute? Moody Bibles? Bible, singular, Institute? No, they don't have that Bible. It's an original manuscript. They don't got them. So when he don't have something in front of him, he's claiming that I'm going back to the original, but I don't have, and I'm going to look at all these manuscripts, and I'm going to try to guess which one I think the original should say. So who's the final authority? He is. He's established himself. Now, when a man establishes himself to be his final authority, he does it for this reason. If you would, look in John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ said, this is how you can tell when a belief comes from man or God. People often say, well, how do I know when church is teaching right? Read. Try that. Listen and compare to the Bible. Okay, Jesus said, how can we know it? John 7, verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, God's will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself, God or man. 18, he that speaketh of himself, man, seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Okay, so here we go. Bottom line, Jesus Christ said, he said you can be revealed and discern the truth of God by verse 17 is by willingly desiring to know the truth. The other word for that, willingly, is a ready mind. A ready mind. Acts 17, verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. A ready mind is a willing mind. In a secular world, they call that an open mind. Okay? And yeah, I believe it means having an open mind and a ready mind. Okay, and that's something we pray for. Why? Because the Spirit of God is the one who guides us into all truth, John 16, 13. But he will look at our heart to determine in our heart, are we sincerely willing? If we're not, he's not going to guide us. Or he might guide us toward deception. Yes, the God of the Bible does that. Okay, so now there are some areas of life where, yes, man is the authority. Okay, like basketball. Okay, basketball was started by a fellow who was a part of the YMCA, Youth Men's Christian Organization, where he put this peach basket, bushel basket, on the wall, and they threw a ball into it. Then they had to get a ladder and get it out of the thing. You know, they didn't think about cutting a hole in it until later. And so that's how that was started, by a fellow. He had 13 rules for the game of basketball. He was the authority for that game. Football, baseball, I think is Naismith, Smith, but then they're kind of confused on who actually started baseball. But in sports, obviously man is the authority. Okay, in education, obviously man is the authority. Okay, who decides in the public school the required curriculum? Who decides that? The government. No, no. Government's a non-entity. It's a fictional entity. Who decides? It's got to be somebody. Some man decides it. So, a man or a group of men or men or group of women. So, man is the authority. I would tend to think in education it should be mom or dad. I mean, that's logical to me. But somebody decided, okay, in your job. Your career, your working. Okay, that's obviously authority of man because who decides your pay? You know, you're remunerated money for your time. You're not making, quote, income per se because you're trading time for hours. Okay, and so who decides that? Well, obviously a man. You say it's a company. It's still a man. A company is a fictional entity. It's decided by a man somewhere in there. So in some things in life, obviously, men are the authority. But when it gets to right or wrong, good or evil, who is the authority? Well, obviously, it's got to go back to the Creator. Okay, an author. Okay, an author. The word author is found three times in the Bible. I've quoted one of them, where it says, God is not the author of confusion. The other two occurrences of the word author is found in Hebrews. So if you would look in Hebrews 12, verse 2. Okay, have you ever had somebody throw this argument at you that you believe that salvation is by grace through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and we sing nothing but the blood, and people probably say, boy, that's a weird religion. Bloody, bloody, blood, 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 bloody. Man, you got a bloody religion. And I've heard that many times, and I'll say, yeah, that's right. Wasn't my idea. It was such a proponent of our faith in that years ago in the past, the Bible was published in only two ways, with a gold edge or red edge. For usually your inexpensive Bibles, usually a red edge. You know why? Blood. People say, well, I don't believe in that. Oh, yeah, you do. You went to McDonald's, some cow died for you to eat that. You just may not have killed it yourself. And everybody needs to be a part of some killing of some animal directly so you can see how it's done. You take a knife, you grab the head, and then you put it in the cone, and you grab the head down, and you like that, and then the feet go, and you hope that it doesn't jump out. And then you got to chase it, you know. I had one of these where this thing did a backflip, on its feet to feet, twice in a row. I thought, man, that was an acrobatic chicken. Okay, but people think they're so cultured because they go to the grocery store. Yeah, but somebody had to kill that animal. Okay, and so where did this idea of a bloody religion come from? Well, Hebrews 12, verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, what is an author? An author is an individual who, of their free will, writes his thoughts on paper, and then a person can voluntarily choose to buy it and read their words. But the author is the one that wrote it. And so the thing to do is you go to the author for the final authority. Now, the author and finish of our faith, according to Hebrews 12, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why is he the author? If you back up to Hebrews 5, verse 8, it says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, in this context, perfect is not sinlessness, because the Lord's sinless. Being made perfect, he became the author, notice, of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. There's eternal salvation. Who's the author of that? Jesus Christ. Now, how did all this start? Okay? Now, God is the one who determines the criteria, okay, to be accepted by God. He's the one that determined it. And after he established that, then that's what Adam and Eve were stuck with. So in Genesis chapter 3, I'll just cite the passage. If you want to look at it, I would encourage that. In Genesis chapter 3, we got a man and a woman in a garden. Perfect environment, perfect individuals, sinless individuals, if we believe the Bible, where we started in paradise and we're evolving down into a puddle. Now, if you're a really optimistic person, you think we started in a paradise and we're going to evolve up into godhood, I think I got a couple of screws for you right there. I mean, that just is not scientific. It's not even logical. Okay, so in Genesis chapter 3, God said to Adam, if you and Eve want to fellowship with me, you can eat of all these trees. But see that tree right there in the midst of the garden? That one, you don't eat it. If you do, the day you eat it, you're dead. Thou shalt surely die. Okay, that's the criteria for Adam and Eve. Well, here a snake in the grass came up in the form of an angel or in the form of a man. He sashayed right close to Eve, and Adam was off doing something. And they got chatting, and he said, yea, hath God said. He doubted what God said. And then Eve said, well, we can eat all the trees of the garden. Then she added a word, and she subtracted a word. Then she changed a couple things. I don't know if she wasn't paying attention when that order was given to Adam, or maybe Adam didn't give it all to her, but she got a second hand, because he's the one that got a first hand. And so then the serpent said, thou shalt not surely die. Okay, so we got one authority says, thou shalt surely die. And we have another authority that said, thou shalt not surely die. So who's the choice? Two conflicting authorities. Adam walks up. And he became his own final authority. He ate of the fruit. He ate of the fruit. His conscience became alert. He now knows good from evil. Evil rejected what God said. He became ashamed of himself. Where's some fig leaves? I just kind of feel a draft around here. And he got some fig leaves. So the third final authority in reality became Adam, man. Jesus said you have two authorities, God or man. And man showed up in Genesis chapter 3 to become his own final authority. Okay, now looking back on that with time, did Adam die that day? Huh? A lot of folks would say, well, he died spiritually. Well, maybe. But we don't got any evidence for that. But we know he didn't die that day. So was God lying? Was God trying to intimidate Adam so he wouldn't, you know, lose fellowship with him? Or did God throw in an alternative plan where he had some mercy? Well, looking back on it, we know what he did. What did he do? Some animal had to die, right? There's a lamb there that God had to cut the throat of that lamb. And then he took the wool off that lamb and tanned the hide. And he said, Adam, put this on, would you? And ever since that day, you know that a man's conscience has been alerted when he puts his clothes on. I don't care who they are. Now, if a guy's a pervert like in Hollywood, yeah, they'll take him off. But they're not going to do this out in public. And, you know, any of us have seen a little kid, you know, 1 year old or 1.5 year old that's running around the house naked as a jaybird. Of course, jaybirds aren't naked. They got feathers. But, he's not a bashful, is he? They're not ashamed. Why? Because they haven't been alerted to something. So when a man puts his clothes on, that shows he's been alerted to something. So what did God establish in Genesis chapter 3? We know what he established because in Genesis chapter 4, right after that, two fellas are trying to be accepted by God. Cain, he went down to his turnip patch and he tried to get blood out of the turnip, and that didn't work. And so he went down there and threw all this fruit on the thing, and he stood there, hocus pocus dominocus undomini undomini. It was fruit, now it's the blood of Christ. And God ignored him. And Abel's over there, and he takes this lamb, and he puts this lamb, and he cuts the throat of this lamb, and the blood comes out, and he puts the lamb on the altar. And then he steps back, and all of a sudden a lightning bolt came down, shoom, and licked that thing up. He said, oh, man. Oh, he accepted it. And Cain was happy and singing in the Lord. God accepted it. God accepted it. And Cain is over there, man, oh, shut up, Abel. Why don't you just shut up? You think you're right about everything. He said, man, I got a lamb over here if you want one. He said, I don't know about you. Just shut up. Get out of my face. I was born Catholic. I'm going to die Catholic. He said, yeah, it looks like that's what you're going to do. And then God showed up. He said, Cain, if you did well, shouldest not thou been accepted? In other words, you didn't do well. He said, go ask Abel. He'll give you a lamb and I'll accept you. He's got his religion and I got mine. Oh, okay, then have it your way. I mean, go to Burger King if you want. Have it your way. I mean, that's how it works, Cain. You see, that's where God established it. Now, what God did when the Jews established a religion in Leviticus chapter 1, God said to the Jews, if you as a people, as an individual, want to be accepted by God, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go down to the tabernacle. If you're very wealthy, I want you to buy a calf. If you're middle class, I want you to buy a lamb. And if you're as poor as a church mouse, I want you to go get a turtle dove. And if you can't get a turtle dove, go to any park, throw out some feed, and you'll catch a pigeon that way. That'll work. And then you take that down to the temple, and when you get ready to hand that off to the priest, the Jewish priest, put your hands on top of that, and Lord, this is my substitute to be accepted by thee, and I will accept that. And that's what God established in the Old Testament. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, he says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Now, you see, their sins were temporarily remitted. But who is the author of eternal salvation? Jesus Christ is. And because of Calvary, now salvation is full and free in Jesus Christ. Man, there's nothing better than that. Now, you know the devil don't want to be undone, does he? What does he require of people to get power from him? Well, God established to be accepted by him has got to be the shed blood, in this case, the Lord Jesus Christ, so the devil's not going to be outdone. So when a person wants to get power, fame, and fortune from Satan, guess what they got to shed? Somebody's blood. You got the same idea. The only difference is not the pure blood of Jesus Christ. It's the shed blood of something. And when you see somebody who has worldly power, and then often if you pay attention, you'll see that somebody close to them, a family member, somebody conveniently has suicide or dies. And the latest is Jim Carrey. And keep track of this guy. Okay, where somebody had an agreement and somebody died. And somebody's going to get fame and fortune over that death. You see, they got that from the Bible. You see? And if you study a lot of these high and mighty people, they're making agreements with some being who has not, that being is not their final authority. He is his own final authority. And they just want to use him to get fame and fortune. You're going to see this all, and man, if you pay attention to these things, you'll see this stuff. I mean, it's not hid. In the Old Testament, what did a king do? He would bring his children down to Molech and throw them in the fire, right? Oh, we know the world's gotten better, hasn't it? That's still going on these days. Why? Because God himself established, in order to be accepted by him, it's the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And the devil's not going to be outdone. In order to be accepted by him, it's going to be the shed blood of somebody. And that's what he's done. Now, when man steps in and says, I will not, like Cain, I will not accept God's sacrifice. Man steps in and you know what he does? Can you imagine? The number one thing that people add to the gospel story of Jesus Christ is two elements of hydrogen and one element of oxygen. Can you imagine that? Two elements of hydrogen and one element of oxygen is the determining factor of heaven and hell with a lot of these people. Now, if you take a little infant and you force your religion upon them where they don't have a choice in the matter, you take two elements of hydrogen and one element of oxygen and sprinkle two drops in her forehead, and now miraculously that kid's going to heaven. I mean, you've got to be kidding me. Some of these folks say, well, and if you talk to these folks, none of them know they have eternal salvation anyway. Why? Because eternal salvation is only found in Jesus Christ. And you see, that's why the God is the one that established that. He is the final authority. And in order for me to be accepted by God as after my sin nature manifested itself, in order for me to be accepted by God, I came to Jesus Christ by grace through faith and gave him the glory. And this is why Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Because Jesus Christ said, when a man establishes himself his own final authority, what's he doing? He's seeking his own glory. This is what he's doing. Man's opinion, man who is a standard. You see a lot of these churches when they say, God's your final authority. No, he's not. Titus chapter 1, verse 16 says, they profess that they know God, but in works deny him, being abominable and unto every good work reprobate. I don't know why these people have to pretend that they care what God says, because they don't care. They're going to do what they wish. And if they think, I got to be good, I got to get baptized, got to keep sacraments, what they're doing is they've established man to be their final authority, just like Cain did. And when they meet God, God is not going to accept them. Because he set it up years ago. God is the final authority. And as the final authority, he said, and he demonstrated all through the Bible, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. But the thing about that is God offered his blood. That's the miraculous thing about the God of the Bible. He laid out the justice, and then he turned around and paid the justice. And a person can glorify Jesus Christ and honor him for his great sacrifice, his great pardon, simply by accepting what he offered to us by grace through faith. And we're honoring Jesus Christ for that. And all these dear folks who are trying to establish man to be their final authority, trying to do all their little deeds. No, eternal salvation is only found in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 5, verse 9. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Man, that's established right there in front of us. By God himself. And God is the one that gets the credit. Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of true faith. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray to help us to see that you are the one who established this. You are the final authority. And a man and woman and a child is wise to receive your great offer, adding nothing to it, because it is full and free. Now, Lord, I do pray that after one does receive that the Bible is still their final authority for all matters of faith. That's established. Okay, what about practice? And, Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be people that also believe that you are the final authority in every area of our life, that we might follow your leading. Well, heads bowed and eyes are closed. The Lord God is the one who established this. He is the final authority. And all religions do have one thing in common, in that they think there's got to be some form of goodness to get eternal life, nirvana, utopia. But the difference is that God has offered that eternal life by faith in Jesus Christ. That's the unique thing, where it's a gift, where Cain's is a religion of works, where Abel's is a faith that is trusting the shed blood, in his case, of a four-legged lamb, in our case, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Well, heads bowed and eyes are closed, the piano will play, the altar's open. If you need to use the altar, it's open for you. It's faith in Jesus Christ, and God is the one that established that. He's the final authority. Jesus Christ is the final authority. And he is the author and finisher of our faith. And he is the author of eternal salvation. That word is only found three times in the Bible, twice about Jesus and once about the old snake in the grass. Lord, thank you for that great plan that you have laid out. And I thank you that it is full and free, and that we can honor the Lord Jesus Christ for his great sacrifice. Unfortunately, many dishonor him and add all these other little doodads to it, and so that man can get his own glory. Help us to glorify you and your Son in Jesus' name. Amen.